Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Obviously, as Christians, we come to church on Friday because it is Easter time. For Christians, it's not about the eggs or the bunny or the holidays or the camping, or not that there's anything wrong with all of those things, but we gather to celebrate Jesus. We gather to look to the cross where Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us. And we look and we contemplate the empty tomb, which speaks to us of the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. Do I have a church tonight that believes that he is risen? He is not dead. And for so many of us in the room tonight, myself definitely included, these truths have actually changed our lives forever. These truths have brought us untold hope, untold peace. But I'm aware that you might be in the room today and you're not so sure. You know, you might be a little bit unconvinced. I don't know everybody here tonight. I don't know how you've found yourself in church on this Good Friday. Maybe a friend brought you here. Maybe a friend hoodwinked you to be here. Maybe something on social media. Maybe you've just stumbled in because you're really actually curious, but you're not that sure about all this Jesus stuff, all this church stuff. Is it all right with you if just for the next 20 minutes or so, I get to share with us some thoughts about who Jesus is? And more than that, we share around what he actually did for us at this cross. It's not an LED cross that was in ancient Israel that day, we understand. But it's a symbol of what Jesus has done for us. And at the end of my talk, I'm actually going to give people an opportunity to say yes or no to Jesus Christ. See, this is the thing. God has given humanity, that's you and I, he's given us all a free will. And God will not violate our free will. He's given it to us. He won't cross that boundary. So you are here and I am here and we are free to accept him or not, you understand? Accept him or reject him. And at the end of this service, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity to exercise that God-given free will and say either yes or no to Jesus. But before we go there, I want to say, don't be too hasty to say no to Jesus. This is my charge to everyone. Before you say no, I would deeply encourage you to know what it is you're saying no to. And the title of my talk tonight is actually a question. It's this question: do you know? Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know? Do you know? Because I think that some people have said no to Jesus, but they don't really know what they've said no to. In the year 2000, a blockbuster video said no to buying Netflix for $50 million. And I granted, $50 million's a lot of money, but they said, streaming? What even is streaming? Streaming, that'll never be a thing. And they said no. Well, today, Netflix apparently is worth $200 billion. And where is Blockbuster Video? It's living in the minds of those who were born in the 70s. That's where it is. I heard a loud amen. But the moral of the story is, it's not a good idea to say no until you know. Don't say no until you know. And I think some people have done that with Jesus. They've actually said no to what they think they know, but perhaps they don't really know. Like perhaps what they've actually said no to, at least in some instances, is a poor or an inaccurate representation of who Jesus is. Maybe they've said no to traditionalism, no to like religion or religious institutions or the things that they learnt at a religious school, or maybe they've said no to some of the behaviours of the church, or no to some of the bad things that have been done in the name of God. Maybe they've said no to stuffy, self-righteous people. Don't look at anyone. Maybe they've said no like to cults, no to hypocrites. Like, yes, let's say no to cults. No to people who professed to be Christians but didn't act like one. The message I really want to get across today is none of those things I mentioned are actually Jesus. none of those things I mentioned are an accurate representation of who he is and what he actually did on that cross for us. And frankly, if any of those things were an accurate representation, I, the pastor, would say no to. I would say we're in good company. But those things are not who he is. They're broken. I admit that they exist, but they are broken representations, you understand. They come about by broken people in a broken world that do broken and stupid things. But my message today is before you say no to Jesus, make sure you really know. Make sure you know. Because when people really get to know Jesus, often they don't say no. Often they actually say yes. I had the opportunity last year to be a part of an audacious undertaking on the continent of Europe, where somebody came up with the wonderful idea to preach the real news of Jesus Christ to 1 million Europeans in a 2-week window. This undertaking spanned 36 European cities where thousands of Christians just like me descended on these cities. We hit the streets and we bumped into strangers and literally just stopped there and then and told them the real news about Jesus Christ. We didn't tell them about the church. We didn't tell them about religion, but we told them what Christians know to be the good news about how Jesus is God and how Jesus came from heaven to earth to love and save sinners. We didn't tell them that he came to condemn sinners because that's not what Jesus did. He came to love and save us, not condemn us. And we told them right there on the streets that the greatest act of sacrificial love the world has ever seen was the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus died and he was raised back to life again to give us life. And that's what we told him on the streets. And the statistics were amazing. We didn't hit 1 million shares of the gospel or the good news, but we did speak 88,000 individual conversations with Europeans. And how do we know the number? Because we recorded them all on the app. And of those 80-odd thousand, forgive me if I'm getting the numbers a little bit wrong, but of those 80-odd thousand, 10% of people didn't say no, they actually said yes. 10% right then and there said a prayer on the streets, they heard about the real Jesus, and they said yes. It's amazing. And I had the personal privilege of praying for one particular woman who said yes to Jesus in the front yard of her house in Dublin. And she, I kid you not, was in the front yard in her pajamas. The only reason she was there, she was looking for her cat who had escaped. And it was at that point the poor lady got hijacked by a crazy Australian who said, "Can I tell you about the real news of Jesus Christ?" And the good news is she wasn't repulsed. She didn't run away and slam her door. I would say she was searching. I would say she was deeply curious. She was looking for hope and meaning, and we had the most powerful moment. And I would say that the presence of God was right there, and I shared with her that I don't believe that this moment is a coincidence. And I shared with her how Jesus saw her and he knows her and that he died for her, and I asked her if she wanted to open up her own heart to him, and she said yes. And so we prayed. And I tell you, I get emotional thinking back. She was emotional standing there in her pajamas as she felt the love of Jesus sort of just flood over her in an inexpressible way. She said it was like burdens were coming off of her. And she said to me, "I'm so glad we met. I'm so glad my cat escaped." Kid you not, I never did see that cat. Hope it's all right. But my point is, when people encounter the real Jesus, not dead religion, you know, not just the church per se, but when people encounter who he really is, frequently they actually say yes, because Jesus is beautiful. Jesus is attractive. All types of people actually say yes to Jesus. Angry people say yes, and cynical people say yes, and rich people and poor people and left wing and right wing and LGBT, like every type of person, when they encounter the real and living Jesus, they say yes. So my question here again tonight to you, do you know Jesus? Like, do you know about him or do you really know him? And do you know the magnitude of what Jesus Christ did for you at that cross? And one way we get to know Jesus is through the Bible, especially through the Gospels. If you're not familiar with the Bible, the Gospels are the four books at the beginning of the New Testament, and they deal with the time that Jesus was on the earth, like his birth, his life, his death, and then his resurrection. And it's in these pages of the Bible that we get to know Jesus. And more than getting to know Jesus, we get to know God, because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. The Bible says that he's a perfect representation of God. So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. You know? And I want to take you to one particular account. We could go to many, but this account gives us such a great glimpse into who he really is. And it's found in the book of John 8. And we're going to read together from verse 1 all the way through to 11. And it says this: Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd gathered and he sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees were like very religious people, they brought a woman who had been, get this, caught in the act of adultery. And they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Can you imagine this scene? This is going down in church. This is an intense scene. And can you think about this poor woman? The shame, the vulnerability, the humiliation, the fear, as these religious people hurled her in front of this crowd. And we pick it up again at verse 5. The religious people, they said, the law of Moses said to stone her. What do you say, Jesus? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus did this. He stooped down and he wrote in the dust with his finger. And they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and he said, all right, you can stone her, but one condition, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then Jesus stooped down again and wrote in the dust some more. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with a woman. Then Jesus stood up again and he said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. What a stunning, stunning account. Amazing how Jesus just disarms this hostile crowd and situation. He saves this woman in that moment. And in this account, what I want you to see is we're presented with two incredibly different attitudes towards this woman. See, first there was the attitude of the religious leaders, and can I say they represent dead religion. They represent the rules that are devoid of a living relationship. You follow me? But then there was Jesus, and what Jesus did and how he treated her stood in stark contrast to their religion. See, religion in that moment did not care for her one bit. But the real Jesus stood close by her in her mess. And they didn't see her. They didn't connect with her story. In fact, they were just mostly self-interested. They wanted to trap Jesus for their own agenda. But Jesus, he really saw her. He knew her story. He saw her, connected with her heart. And he didn't reject her in spite of the fact that she was full of sin and brokenness. He did not kick her when she was down. But he came alongside. Those religious leaders, they all stood around with stones in their hand. They were hurling accusations. They were ready to go. But Jesus, he brought peace into that situation. Like his words, whatever he spoke, whatever he wrote in that dirt, it brought calm into that storm. It brought peace into that chaos. They were out for her blood, but he protected her. Imagine the comfort she would have felt just knowing that Jesus was with her. the presence of Jesus was there. Life for women in ancient Israel was actually hostile. You know, technically speaking, according to the law, they had a legal right to do the very thing that they were doing. But Jesus shows in this moment, he's not about law, he's about mercy. Can I speak that over someone's life today? He's about mercy. It doesn't mean he denied her sin. He didn't act as if her sin didn't matter. He just demonstrated that his forgiveness is greater. You understand? It's greater. You know, get this. Jesus was the only sin-free person in the crowd that day. So when he gave this condition, let the one who never sinned throw the first stone, he was the only guy in the crowd that met the criteria. Like if anyone had a right to condemn this woman and lob that stone, it was Jesus, but he didn't. He chose mercy. He chose mercy. He defended her brokenness. He restored her dignity. I want to say this to us today. This is who Jesus is. I'm preaching about the real Jesus. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same mercy he showed to the woman of John 8, he shows to you. The same love he showed to her is the very same love that took him all the way to Calvary's cross. Took him all the way to that place where he died for you and died for me. The truth is we're all a little bit like the woman of John 8. Sure, we've maybe never been caught in the act of adultery, but if we're humble enough to admit it, our lives can be messy in our own ways, in our own unique type of ways. We all have our areas of shame and pain. We have things that are making us feel scared or vulnerable or confused. Things that we've done, things that have been done to us, things that we're not proud of. And just a lot of life circumstances that sometimes leave us wondering, are we going to be okay? And into those spaces of our lives can step the real Jesus. Just like with this woman, he doesn't reject us. If we invite him, he'll actually come in. He'll actually come close. His presence can bring comfort to us. He can calm the storms in our own life. He doesn't deny our sins. Rather, he offers us forgiveness through his cross. He offers us a fresh start in him. Choosing to give my life to Jesus Christ is the best thing I've ever done, second to none. Jesus is everything to me. He's been with me through the highs and the lows of my life. He's brought me hope. He's brought me strength. He's brought me purpose. When I had a broken heart, through all the challenges of living, through the challenges of raising my disabled son, Jesus has given me strength. Jesus has gotten me through. I would be a mess without him, but because of him, I'm not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I live with great hope and great assurance. And I know that so many here would have a same, but different story to mine of how Jesus has touched and changed their lives. And that's why we who are Christians, we gather on Good Friday. We celebrate together today because we know who Jesus is. Like we know, we've had a real encounter with what his cross means, so much more than religion. People say, oh, you're a pastor, you're very religious. No. So much more than institution, but a real and loving relationship with a real and living God and Savior. And he's not just for me, he can be for you too. I'm just going to ask Robert to come and play the keys here for a moment. The book of John says this. It's maybe the best known scripture in the world, one of them. You can close your eyes as I read this scripture over you. John 3, verse 16 to 17. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, not just the world general, but your world too, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God so loved you that he sent Jesus. So loved me, he came to save us. Jesus Christ, being fully God, he set aside the privileges of his deity. He set aside the privileges of being God to become human. He entered into the human condition, experienced a human experience. He knows weakness. He knows suffering. He knows pain. He knows everything that you know, everything except for the sin. And he came to earth to deal with our sin problem and to restore you and me back to right relationship with our God. Some people get offended at the word sin, but the truth is every single one of us is sinful. We've all fallen short of God's holy standard. We are sometimes not truthful. We sometimes hurt others, whether we mean to or whether we don't. We might be an essentially good person, but I want to say no one is good enough. No one can measure up to God in our own merit. But God so loved us that he sent Jesus to deal with this sin problem. And Jesus died that brutal death on a Roman cross. It was excruciating. It was humiliating. He was mocked, he was whipped, he was beaten. The scriptures tell us he was beaten beyond recognition. And he didn't just die for us, he actually died as us. Jesus didn't deserve the cross. We deserved the penalty of our own sin, but the Bible is clear that our sin got put on Jesus at the cross so that we could come into right standing with God. Jesus Christ became the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice who died once and for all. That's for all sin, for all people, and for all time. And he did so that me and you and all people, so that we could really know God. Do you know? Yeah, you can really know God. He did so that we can know our sins are forgiven. And we can know our future is secure. And we can know what it is to be in right relationship with our God. The way we enter into that knowledge is by believing in him. It's like I said at the beginning, an act of your free will to put your own faith in him and invite him into your heart and into your life to be the Lord and Savior of your life.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.